For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Yes, hello, welcome to episode 20 of the Monday Waffle. My name is Jake Batrick. Thanks for joining me. Look, I'm all on my own today, so, and I apologise for the sniffles. I've come down with some sort of flu over the weekend, but that didn't stop me catching all the waffle action from round 19. It was a fantastic round of footy. The Swans got a much-needed win over the Lions. Peel, well, they just keep on keeping on. Claremont unlucky against the Royals, and West Perth very dominant over a struggling East Fremantle. We're going to get to those games soon, but we're going to kick things off with Swan Districts and their one-point victory over Subiaco. The Black Ducks got the job done by 1 point over the ladder leaders. They won 11-6, 72 to 10 goals, 11-71. And terrible conditions. Every team this weekend was subject to hail, heavy rain and gusty winds, which made it difficult. And Subiaco, well, they just wasted their chances, really, kicking 11 behinds when Swan Districts managed 6. But it wasn't just the terrible scoring by Subiaco. It was the record number of tackles that the Swan Districts made in this game. It was a record. 108 tackles in a game of football is just phenomenal. I haven't seen anything like it. Ryan Davis, midfielder for the Swans, he laid 20 tackles, which is an equal waffle record set by his teammate Justin Simpson 4 years ago. So just a fantastic effort there. Look, pretty much the Swans had more to play for going into this game. Subiaco sitting pretty on top of the ladder. They would have just been sort of expecting a win, I reckon. But Swan Districts, well, they needed to win to get back into the top five. And they did just by the skin of their teeth. So a fantastic effort by them. The goal kickers for Swan Districts, Ryan Davis and Tim Geepen both kicked 2. And then Dean Rogers and the best name in the waffle, Rudy Riddock, they kick singles along with Riggio, Howard, Knott and Jukes. For the Lions, Simon Moore had probably hit one of his better games of the year, finally back in the league squad. He kicked 3 goals from 14 disposals, 9 kicks and 2 tackles. So g'day Simon if you're listening. Shane Yaron kicked 2. Matty Boland kicked 1. Wood, DeLuca, Hoskins, Toomey, all kick singles. So, look, it was, you know, if they converted one more of those points into a goal, they would have got the job done, but wasn't to be. Look, it was just the Swan District spread on the day that, you know, along with their tackling pressure, which was phenomenal, it was their spread. So, you know, Davis had 18 disposals and 2 critical goals. Simpson, you know, he read the play all day. He had 9 marks with 29 possessions. Geepen, I reckon he played his best game for at least 2 seasons. He gathered 22 touches and a couple of goals. And Riggio, well, he just kept on keeping on. You know, he's had a phenomenal year. He had many contested possessions, 27 possessions, in fact. And Talon Ames blanketed pretty much the whole of Subiaco forward line. In particular, he played on Matt Boland. Matt Boland's had a great year as well. So, you know, the Swans, they just played as a team. And you know what? At the end of the day, that's what you want from your team. And it worked for them. They got the job done. And a much-needed win to get themselves back into the top five. Doesn't do much for Subiaco. They're still sitting pretty, 3 full games clear of West Perth in second. So the Lions, I don't think they'll be too worried about that one with only 3 rounds to go. Looking ahead for both teams next weekend, well, the Swan Districts have the tough road trip up to HBF Arena to play the Falcons, and Subiaco, the not so tough road trip to Lathlay Park to play the Demons, who were coming off a win. They had the bye this weekend, but they won last week. But as we know, anything can happen in the world of footy.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
On the line, we have Channel 7's Mark Reddings for our weekly check-in. Mark, it was the Royals who got a 10-point victory over the Tigers and a much-needed one.
Yes, good morning, Jake. A pretty important victory in the context of the season. The Royals currently in fourth spot and Claremont sixth after that 10-point result. Pretty miserable weather, as we all know, on Saturday with wet and windy conditions making it pretty tough. I think in many ways East Perth set up their victory in the first quarter when Claremont really failed to take advantage of a strong wind when they booted 1 goal 6 as opposed to East Perth's 1-3. And then as the game wore on, some of the more experienced players for the Roars, like Paul Johnson, Brendan Lee and Gary Moss, started to get their hands on the footy. Johnson, outstanding with 26 touches, 36 hit-outs. Moss had 19 disposals and Lee picked up 31 touches. So those sorts of figures, plus the fact that I guess those stronger, hardened bodies by East Perth with that AFL alignment went a long way towards securing 10-point victory. And it does mean, as I say, in fourth position, there's still a silly chance to grab the double chance. Such a very tight part of the season that one slip up and you could suddenly find yourself in an elimination final. But East Perth, very impressive with the way they ground out that victory on the weekend.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned that double chance spot. It's a tough 3 weeks, final 3 weeks for the Royals. They've got Subiaco and then Peel and a bye as well. So you'd think they need to win at least, well, probably that win against Peel. Do you think they're going to get that double chance?
Yeah, really tough little period, isn't it? And we've got the game on Channel 7 on Sunday between East Perth and Peel down there at Bendigo Bank Stadium in Mandurah. That could be defining for both teams, really. Peel sitting in third position, East Perth in fourth. Whichever team wins, that gives themselves an ideal chance to go on and grab that double chance. But, yeah, the Royals have a tough little burst coming up. This will may well determine whether they can win the premiership, because under the top five system, if you don't have that double chance, it makes it a really tough task to go on and win elimination final after elimination final. So that's the task for them. Should be a great game down in Mandurah on the weekend. Obviously, there's so much riding on it. Conditions expected to be a little bit wet, but end of the day, I think after what we saw from Peel and East Perth earlier this season, it should be a cracking game of footy.
Now, that last spot in the top five is occupied by Swan Districts. Now, Claremont obviously would be disappointed. They would have felt they had a chance to sneak back into the five. Now, there's a crucial clash in round 22, the second last round, against Claremont and Swan Districts. Gee, that's going to prove to be a crucial clash for that final spot in the five.
No doubt about that, but even looking closer, this weekend Claremont host East Fremantle. So you'd think the way East Fremantle are travelling that that'd be a certain win for Claremont, which would take them up to 36 points. And then it comes down to West Perth hosting Swan Districts at HBF Arena, and Swan's in fifth position. West Perth will start favourites in that game, you'd think. And so that being said, if West Perth do as they should and maybe knock over Swan Districts, then both Claremont and Swans will be on 36 points apiece. Don't rule out South Fremantle either. They're also on 32 points. They do have the bye and they have played one extra game than Claremont. But yeah, that fifth position, I don't think we'll know definitively until perhaps the last round of the home and away season.
Yeah, the Bulldogs have got a percentage of 84, so I think it's going to be a little bit tough for them to sneak in. Just quickly, Mark, can you remember a time where there was a closer Waffle season? Because it's just been a fantastic year of Waffle footy.
Yeah, certainly, and particularly the mid part of the table. When you look at from West Perth down to South Fremantle, very competitive. Really stunned that East Fremantle have performed the way they have. Obviously, Steve Malaxis has gone, and that's meant they've been restricted to just five wins, and most of those came in the first half of the year. And Perth, well, they're the problem child of the competition. Two victories, 8 points next to their name, and the Commission really does have to step in, I think, and try and give them better opportunities, whether it's zoning, whether there's some assistance required for player input there. But they certainly need something to make them a competitive side, because with 56 points next to their name, Subiaco 14 wins and 3 losses. Although it's a very tight competition, it does seem there's only two real standout sides in Subiaco and West Perth. Although Peel and East Perth on their day very good, and so too Swan District. But yeah, the middle part of the table exceptionally tight, and let's hope that stays the way until the last round.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fascinating 3 weeks. Mark, we'll catch you next week, mate. I really appreciate your chat with us.
Go on, Jake.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
The Falcons flew down to Adam Stadium to play the Sharks on Saturday afternoon. They came out with a 73-point thumping of the hapless Sharks, and like a cork in the ocean, Eloise has just bobbed up and is joining me in the studio.
I have indeed. Hey, Jake, how you going?
Good, mate. Look, listeners wouldn't have heard your voice very often, if at all, this year.
No, I'm not a regular on the Waffle scene, but I thought, you know, it's getting towards the end of the season. I may as well, you know, show my face before the end of the year.
Or show your vocal cords, because
exactly.
It's radio.
Just really project my vocal cords.
No
probably
pictures
what I meant
here.
To say.
Look, Eloise, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not the biggest footy fan going around.
I'm not. I would say that my football knowledge is probably about on par with your knowledge of the Kardashians.
Yep.
But
the famous basketballers.
But
that's,
you know,
just me having a bit of fun. I do know who the Kardashians are.
Taking a look at the scoreboard, though, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that East Fremantle's taken an absolute thumping there, haven't
yep.
they?
Now, you pulled out a great quote from West Perth coach Bill Monaghan. What did he have to say?
Well, so I thought, you know what, I don't know a lot about football. I'll have a quick read of the newspaper article that they've written. Coach Bill Monaghan, he's come out with an excellent little excerpt. He said, "We haven't been starting overly well, so we had a real focus on trying to get out of the blocks a bit quicker."
Okay.
And then he goes on to say, "I think 6-1 in the first quarter was really positive, and that set the tone for the rest of the game." Now, look, I'm no football maniac, but I think if you're 6-1 up in the first quarter, it's pretty obvious you're going to win. Unless the other team dies, or your team dies, I think you're going to win. So, Bill, you know, I love your enthusiasm, but really, mate.
Just come on.
Just
give
come
me more.
On. Yeah.
Oh, an absolute breath of fresh air you are, Eloise. Now, do you know any of the players from this game? You're going to need my help.
Well, obviously, you've got the Sharks defenders.
The Sharks, yeah.
Yeah, you've got Danny and Matthew. I've just grabbed them from the newspaper article.
What did they do?
I don't know.
So your defenders, you've picked two defenders from the losing team. So they've obviously had an absolute blinder.
So basically, Danny and Matthew have just done an absolutely shocking job. And I just wanted to name them so that everybody knows that Danny and Matthew need to go home and take a good hard look at themselves and realise that as a defender, you're supposed to stop the other team from scoring goals.
And they didn't.
No.
Okay, look, quickly, because you're running out of time very quickly, I'll go through the best players for each side. Trent Manzoni, he had 2 goals, 34 disposals.
Well done, Trent.
Andrew Strike, you might know, no, actually, don't worry, he didn't win the bloody medal. Andrew Strike.
Even if he had, probably wouldn't know him. Could have said he had. Good on you, Andrew.
Andrew Strike had 2 goals, 23 disposals, 19 kicks and 4 handballs, which is rare. Aiden Lynch, again, 30 disposals. Last year's Sandover medalist, Aaron Black, had a solid game, 25 disposals and a point. So, pretty handy. For the Sharks, there were a couple of highlights. The O'Brien brothers, Rory O'Brien.
Rory, you know, and you Brock.
Know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the O'Brien brothers.
I actually think it is Brock.
Yeah. They tried hard to lift the Sharks, I think.
They did. Yeah, look, you're exactly right. 36 disposals for Rory and a goal, and Brock had 27 disposals and a goal. So,
well done, boys.
Look.
Brock and Rory. I mean, you tried. Not hard enough, but you gave it a go.
Look, Yello, the Sharks, for a few weeks now, their 10th loss in a row. Not great.
No.
They're not swimming great.
No.
Look,
you could say they're being pulled backwards.
Yeah, that's...
You know, sharks drown if you pull them backwards, so...
Yep. The Sharks have condemned themselves to second last spot on the ladder. West Perth have taken...
You know what? At least you're not last.
Could be worse.
Second to lose is first to win, I
guess. I like your half-glass full approach there, Elo. Certainly... Half glass full.
Glass half full?
Yeah.
I think that's what...
Half glass full.
Half glass full, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Look, West Perth have taken a step closer to sealing that second spot on the ladder. Now, Eloise, if you finish in the top three, or maybe the top two, I should know this, but I don't,
yep.
You get a double chance in finals. So if you lose in the first week, then you get another go. So West Perth is...
I believe it's top two. It's anything like AFL, which I'm assuming it is.
It is because, the same, you know, it's the same game, that's for sure.
Well,
same rules.
If they use the same scoring system, I believe it's the top two that get a second chance at finals.
Yeah, so West Perth took another step forward to getting that double chance. Looking ahead, Eloise, to next week. We've already covered West Perth next game. They're playing the Black Ducks, which is Swan District.
Oh, Lord. I get it. Yeah, Swans, Black Ducks. It's clever.
Yeah. And East Frio travelled to the Showgrounds to play the Tigers.
Ooh.
At the Showgrounds, which is a great venue, a really good ground announcer down there.
Be
at
a good
Claremont
competition.
As well. You just missed my joke.
Oh. Sorry.
Doesn't matter.
You're not very funny, so I just...
Well, I might as well just give up then.
I'd probably end it here then, I would.
All right.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
That little pray for Peel message that Jake Batrick got going a few weeks ago, that seems to be working. The Thunder, they strengthened their hold on third spot on the ladder with a 30-point win over South Fremantle at Fremantle Oval on Saturday in absolutely horrendous conditions. It was wet, it was windy, it really was tough footy. And Peel, they had to respond in that second half, especially in that last quarter from the Bulldogs. They came back to within a goal in that last quarter, but Peel eventually ran away with it to win by 30 points. Now, the Thunder, they only had 13 Fremantle-listed players available to them, so that makes this win all the more remarkable. Captain Brendan Jones had 32 disposals and 6 inside 50s. That's a great performance from him. Another outstanding player on the day was Josh Bootsma in defence. He had 10 marks in defence, and he really was a knight in shining armour, particularly in that last quarter, when South Fremantle really were surging. But East Perth is the opponent for Peel next week. They're on a really red-hot streak at the moment. That's going to be a fantastic match down in Mandurah next Sunday. As for the Bulldogs, they've slumped to an 8-10 record thus far after 3 straight losses, and now they're really struggling to make the finals. But as for Peel, they're looking quite good.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Thanks to Monday Waffle Jared Lawford for his yarn on the Peel South Frio game. But it's that time of week again. Eloise, you're still here for some reason.
Boo.
Oh, you got me. it's time to get your tips out, Eloise. Get your tips out.
Yeah, it was funny the first time you said it. Sorry, was I supposed to laugh?
Yeah.
Funny.
Okay, so you don't know who is on the ladder and whereabouts they are on the ladder. So
no. I know that I'm not going to bloody Tim Ace from Antle, my lord.
I'm going to reel off the fixtures and you're going to tell me who's going to win, okay?
Okay.
All right, kicking us off on 11:35 on Saturday morning, it's the mini derby, East Perth and Peel Thunder. Who's going to win? It's Peel Thunder is at home.
I'm going to go Peel. Hashtag okay. Pray for Peel.
Good,
it's
good.
Something I've heard being thrown around.
Yep, because Peel are now probably going to be playing finals. So
there you go. Hopefully they win.
Mostly down for me, praying for them. Anyway, Claremont and East Frio at the Showgrounds.
Well, I mean, Claremont. I mean,
you're not going
to. No one's going to team East Frio after last week, are they?
No.
No. Not even East Frio thinks they're going
to
win.
Now, the next game, the tough road trip for Subiaco is to Lathlane Park to play the Demons.
I'm going to go the Demons.
You shouldn't have.
Why? Are they on the bottom of the ladder?
Yep. Subi's on top. But that's fine. You've locked it in now.
You know what? They're at home. So.
And as I said at the start of the podcast, anything can happen in the
hashtag
world of footy.
Hashtag pray for the Demons. Doesn't have the same
just
ring to it.
Doesn't have the same ring to
but,
it.
But you know what? Everyone listening should just pray for the bloody Demons.
And finally, the Battle of the Birds, the Falcons and the Swan Districts. Who's going to win?
Swannies.
Okay.
Just from my professional opinion.
Interesting choices from you.
Well, they would be, wouldn't they? Because I haven't got a bloody clue.
Now, this next couple of minutes is going to be a bit boring for you because you're not on the tipping ladder.
That's all right. I can give you my opinion on their tipping skills.
Okay. Yeah. Josh is on top.
No.
On 53. I'm in second on 48.
Well done. Pat on the back for you,
Thank you. Jesse is on top of Claire, both on 46. And both of those guys are on top of Josie, who's also on 46.
That sounds awfully uncomfortable.
So that third spot on the ladder is, up for grabs, really.
Yeah, not like the Demons. He's probably not going to move up the ladder, but these guys actually have a chance.
We'll get to last spot on the ladder shortly. But Nicole is on 41, Jared is on 39, and MIA Mark is on the bottom. He's the Perth Demons of the tipping competition. He's on 35.
Foreman. He's just had an absolute mare.
Yeah, in life, really.
Mark Damon Foreman.
Well, that's pretty much all we've got time for. An interesting episode 20 of the Monday Waffle. Eloise, thanks for coming in.
No worries.
Been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
Good to see you getting about the footy. And
love me some footy.
Stay tuned next week to get around some more waffle footy. It's certainly heading up in the waffle world, and we'll catch you next week to fill you in on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.